Item 8 from the director, Milwaukee Art Museum, presenting plans for the museum's East Edition. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Okay, thank you, Chairman and Supervisors, again for allowing me to present some images and walk you through the plans as have been presented. I believe that you have seen these as published in the Journal Sentinel, also online, and you've had these images distributed to you. And I think I have about a half dozen of them that I'm happy to go through. So as we presented and as we've been speaking, this is, I want to remind everyone, this is a very complex project. And it involves some very important goals and objectives for the War Memorial, the Art Museum, and the county. First and foremost, as you know, is to make repairs to the two county-owned buildings. Those repairs will require us to vacate the permanent collection galleries in their entirety. The principal areas of problem for the museum over the years, the open sculpture court that you see on the rooftop area, is now being proposed as a green rooftop garden. In fact, it will be an extension of the War Memorial experience coming out onto Fitch Plaza. 80% of the leaks in the buildings occur around that open sculpture courtyard. The other major area of problem is the east wall of the Kaler Edition. It's a glass wall. It has failed. There are foundation leaks. And furthermore, we closed off that east entrance years ago when we built the Calatrava Edition. But as you can see from this bird's eye view, in fact, I also want to point out that about the only time you'd be able to see this view is if you're in a low-flying helicopter. And so it points out, however, that we are a complex of three buildings and attached at the hip to the War Memorial as well. And you can see the power of the Saarinen design building, the third and fourth floors, that are elevated above the veterans' courtyard. This is an important piece for us as we work through the design changes in this, because we recognize that there is a significant cantilever element in the Saarinen design of the third and fourth floor, and that the bays of the Saarinen third and fourth floors actually correspond to the 24-foot center on columns within the entire Kaler building. And as a reminder, the Kaler Edition is 100,000 square feet of exhibition space for our collection. Which takes me to the East Edition on the end. The East Edition, as you see here from this human scale, which we think is the most important and powerful view, because after all, we interact with buildings on a human level, on ground level, as you see here walking along the lakefront. But the East Edition that we are proposing is over two floors, a total of around 16 to 17,000 square feet. And most importantly, it changes from an initial concept in which we were proposing a single-purpose event East Edition to one that serves a multi-purpose use of both the east entrance into the museum off the lakefront and a public space of an atrium, and then additional space for the art. And most significantly, as you can see here on the far left, which would be the southeast corner of the cantilevered second floor, you can see that there's a proposal for windows. And those windows are critical because they will not only reveal a new sculpture gallery in conjunction with the Bradley collection of sculpture, it will, for the first time, provide south views along the lakefront, and most importantly, for the first time, south views from this East Edition back to Quadracci Pavilion designed by Calatrava. It's interesting when we pointed out to people that today, if you walk into the galleries and find your way through the Kaler building to the lakefront, you cannot see that view of one of the most celebrated pieces of contemporary architecture in North America. So we feel that that's also a very significant improvement. Another interesting opportunity for us is to create more public space. We think this is a very interactive solution to what is currently a closed-off and back-turning experience at the lakefront. The current Kaler Edition is black glass. There is no entrance in, and there is no way to see in. We're proposing a plaza area with low-rise steps that can also serve as seating for lakefront visitors, tables and chairs, and some kind of landscaping with small ornamental trees and shrubs. We also think the experience is quite interactive because rather than black glass, we're proposing clear glass. which will allow a transparency at the lakefront that doesn't now exist. And then in addition, we think it's going to be quite a spectacular experience to actually walk under that cantilevered element as you go across the lake walk. And again, because of the clear glass on that end, you'll actually be looking up, seeing sculptures present in that sculpture gallery. And of course, visitors from inside will be able to look down and see the lakefront activity. Also, as a reminder for orientation, if we were back over towards Discovery World, this view shows very nicely two important elements that are added because of necessary code modifications to the building. And on the left, you can see the addition of an external stair system. There will also be another one on the north end, allowing easy transition from the rooftop and the veterans experience down to the lakefront and into the museum, and vice versa. So for the first time, we will have a very visible, a very intuitive wayfinding for visitors to move and transition from the lakefront levels, interior and exterior, up to the memorial level, Fitch Plaza, and onto Veterans Courtyard. So we feel very good about the design. We feel it is respectful, if you go back one, Jane, that it is respectful of the architecture that's there. We concluded in working with HGA architects early on that this building doesn't need to be another Calatrava-like building. We don't need to compete with that. And then similarly, we need to do something that is mindful yet respectful of the other great piece of architecture designed by Eero Saarinen. I can tell you that people come from all over the world to also see this Saarinen work of architecture. And so we feel that this design pays homage and attention to the Saarinen building, does not compete with the Calatrava edition, yet provides a great visitor experience on the lake level. And then a couple of quicker, simple views inside. These are not in final form, but it's to show you in what's called sketch-up rendering form, not finished renderings. What we're investigating now on the inside, there's an opportunity for a very interesting kind of stair system to be presented. It will be an actual entrance into the museum, so there'll be an admissions desk. Entry doors both north, off of the parking lot, and to the south from the lakefront. If we go to the next slide, there will be a landing of some sort. We're actually looking at a little more infill now on the second floor that will provide direct access into a brand new 5,000 square foot changing gallery. And that changing gallery then gives us the opportunity to provide the right balance with our current Baker Roland 11,000 square foot gallery so that the museum, from a changing exhibition standpoint, will never be dark. And then finally, the floor plan very quickly shows how we also gain additional exhibition space, which as we got into the planning and design of this, we realized that it was most critical that we somehow figure out how to add additional exhibition space both on the first floor and on the second floor. And the total combined with the 5,000 square foot sculpture court enclosure is in the 20,000 square foot range of new collection exhibition space. And then in closing, I would also add, and you can stay on that slide, Jane, if you go back. I also want to add that the Calatrava edition Quadracci Pavilion will remain completely open during our 12 months of construction. As Mr. Drent pointed out, it's about a 12-month process, and we do have to balance what we consider will be the challenges here in terms of pieces being open and closed. But the Calatrava edition, Baker Roland Changing Gallery, will be open. Our education center is actually going to move its program down to the Windover Hall area, and our exhibition schedule is, in fact, more robust than ever to acknowledge and to figure out a game plan. As Supervisor Alexander has correctly questioned, you know, there will be these budgetary challenges during this downtime. We've also placed significant amounts in our cash board designated reserves during the last few years, knowing that this project was coming, knowing that there will be challenges, and that certainly will impact our budget in some way. We hope that it will be minimal. The exhibition schedule is strong, and we hope that when we open fall of 2015, this is a true delight and a next-level treasure for the community. Thank you, Chairman. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions by committee, Supervisor Borkowski, then Supervisor Alexander. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let's just stay with this slide if we could. And I just wanted to ask you all to imagine the Couture building in the background, because that will be a wonderful addition to the Milwaukee skyline. On a serious note, and I guess I'm not sure if this is, does the Lakefront Task Force need to approve this project because of the construction that's going on by the lake there? And if yes, then what's the status there?
Now, I can tell you, Supervisor, of the process to date, I have met with Bill Lynch, chair of the Lakefront Development Advisory Committee. We presented before the Lakefront Development Advisory Committee with an earlier version of this. I've updated Mr. Lynch on this plan, and his feeling was that this is not a significant enough change such that we should bring it back to the committee. But I looked at his advice and guidance, and we're happy to do that. I will say, not to speak for him, but I can tell you what he told me. He's very pleased with this design. He feels that it provides the right amount of amenities, that it also greens up the space significantly. And from their standpoint, they're not critics of architecture. They are watchdogs, if you will, to make sure that it's doing what we want it to do at the lakefront. I would also add that I met with John Lunt and Mary Camps of the Preserve Our Parks and showed him the cantilever project design. So we're keeping them updated as we go forward.
And, of course, Mr. Lynch was speaking on behalf of the entire commission.
Yes.
Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Beautiful design.
Thank you.
I'm very proud that someday I'll be able to take my children and maybe grandchildren here someday and tell them we were a small part of this process. One thing I'm noticing in the design is that there's stairways on both sides. You talked about that a little bit. I didn't hear anything about an elevator. Does someone who needs an accessible entrance to get into this new building have to go to a different building to get in?
Oh, yes. Thank you for pointing that out. It is a detail in the floor plan that I showed, and I skipped past it. Maybe, Jane, you could go back a slide there. Actually, this drawing shows an elevator to the right. Maybe Jane can point that out for us, just to the right, and then just adjacent to that, and everyone will be happy with that, two restrooms. So we think we've got the right amenities piece there. And I would also add that the stair and the elevator system in its final form, however we configure this, will go through all floors of the museum, so from the lower level all the way to the second floor Bradley level. And then we'll also be adding restrooms on the Bradley level, which we currently don't have. So the wayfinding and the access, it will be there.
Thank you. And then I don't know if there's any differentiation between the hours that the different buildings are open or hours that the War Memorial building needs to be accessible, that maybe the art museum isn't open. Will this be an entrance that is accessible even when you are not open for operations?
It will be tied directly to museum operating hours for the public, and then, of course, that space can function for special events, which would be off hours. But there's an interesting twist to this that we're examining from a program standpoint. As we all know, Wendover Hall in Quadracci Pavilion is one of the highest demand spaces for special events. It's possible that down the line we could have some increased evening programming for the public in access to the art because of reopening this entrance, and there could be a special event wedding in Wendover Hall. So we're going through that programmatic change in some of those options, and we'll determine how we, through this design change, we may in fact be able to provide some greater access hours to our public beyond what we have now.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Other questions by committee? Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you could please go to the next slide. One more. No.
Last
there.
Slide. Yeah. You want the aerial view?
The helicopter level.
There we go.
Okay. Thank you. It's a little hard to tell when you're squinting at a picture from far away. I got some questions about the overall design, and I'm going to put this in terms of some have thought that this resembles either a big box store or an old IBM PC case being installed on the lakefront. But you've obviously expressed a different view of it, a complimentary view of it today, as one would expect from the director. And I'm sympathetic to that, of course. I'm curious, to extend this, if we consider this to be to perhaps oversimplify the boxy nature of this design, what I'm going to refer to as the bezel on the northeast, it's on the ground level in the northeast. Those are the clear windows, I believe you're referring to, Mr. Keegan.
Are those? Yes, on the south second floor, southeast. Or are you referring
northeast.
To the northeast?
We're
in that
Keegan,
area.
Yeah, Mr. Keegan is pointing to the
ground
level.
That's the lobby entrance
lobby
area.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that clarification. It appears, again, I'm adjust my glasses, it appears that the lines in this illustration, it looks like the lines actually lined up very nicely from the ground level going up to, is that the first floor, the level above?
Yes, the second floor.
Second
yes.
Floor. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Those lines, by the way, would be the mullions in the glass.
Okay, yeah.
Supporting the actual glass elements.
Very good. And has that design characteristic been taken into account? That is, the mullions, they will continue? So there'll be consistency.
I would say, Supervisor, they better align. I would add, though, in all seriousness, there could be some tweaks to the exterior surfaces. So, for example, where you're seeing the solid white, we don't know exactly what that material might be. Is it metal panel? Is it tile? We just don't. We haven't gotten that far with it. Regarding the criticism, the critical voices will always be out there with any work of art or architecture. I think if we had listened to critics, the Calatrava addition would never have been built. The Eiffel Tower would never have been built. And, is it a box? Yes, but the Kaler addition is a box. It's of its period. It's a minimalist building. It's rigid in its geometry. As is the Saarinen building in its symmetry. And so from a design aesthetic standpoint, the challenge is always to be mindful of that which is there and not try to counter it lest it end up looking like a barnacle stuck on something else. So it's a delicate balance, and we recognize that it has a bit of a retro look in that regard because it has to be harmonious, yet it also needs to look somewhat different. It's a significant design challenge that we think we've mastered here.
Yeah, it's apparent that this is in some regards is an extension of the original building, but a complement to it. There's interest in ensuring that there's continuity in some of the visual aspects, such as mentioned the lines from the lobby going up to the first floor. They appear to be rendered in this illustration. And again, it's an on-screen illustration I'm looking at from 30 feet away, so I hope it would continue. It is realized. I'm confident, Mr. King, in fact, that your staff, whoever's working on it, will do that. There's other designs, design elements. This is the lines extending through the green roof on the top there.
The two dark stone paths?
Yes.
Yes.
Paths.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you want me to address that?
And
or is there a question about that?
Not actually, no, thank you, sir. I'm noting their presence. I think I can tell, despite allegations of my relative blindness, Supervisor Borkowski.
Yes, blind is a bat.
I think I see how it's intended to play out here, and I think that works. I won't be seeing that from the ground level.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes. But you will see that from the rooftop because
yes.
That is a public space on the roof. And I should have pointed out in my brief walkthrough, those dark paths are considered to be memorial paths, or as one of the veterans characterized them, freedom paths. And if you realize that they connect to the Veterans Courtyard, which is the memorial moment, and the War Memorial has created a beautiful design, a redesign of that deck that has a memorial circle with the major battle conflicts, a central flagpole element, and those two dark pathways will be the obvious connector progression coming out of that Veterans Courtyard, leading you through the green roof Memorial Garden element directly out to the lakefront and about 50 to 70 feet closer to the water than you are today. So I think it's a very powerful element from that rooftop experience.
Okay. Lastly, Mr. Chairman, a major concern is the access to the lakefront, the view of the lakefront, and in fact the view from the lakefront. I believe you mentioned earlier in your testimony that, as you see it, this will enhance and improve views, because you said you cannot currently see the Calatrava.
That's correct. If you currently, Jane, maybe you could point that out. If you were standing at the southeast corner of there, where she's pointing is about the end of the current Kaler addition. If you were standing there, that's a solid concrete wall, so you can only look east. You can't see the Calatrava addition at all. And what we're proposing here, as you've seen, is that corner element. Go one more there. That's that second floor corner element will allow that vista back to the Calatrava addition. And also the same view on the north end where that window will wrap around. So for the first time, you'll be able to look north up the lakefront as well as east. You can't do that today either from the Kaler addition.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it's a good thing we don't do design by committee, much less by the Parks Committee. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
As one with deep aesthetic training, I couldn't agree with you more. Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I asked a question earlier related to the stairs, and I forgot my follow-up. So I just wanted to come back to that quickly. In the design that we had seen in the past, if memory is serving me right, there was a wider, greater, larger staircase that spanned a larger length. I don't know if I'm remembering that correctly, but it looks like this front east-facing part of the design is really different from what was originally presented. I'm curious what caused the change there.
Yeah. I should correct you. The staircase is about the same scale as the original plan. It's about an 8-foot wide stair, so it's a significant kind of a grand staircase, and we're still proposing that kind of scale. Actually, I think we feel it'll be much more dramatic in that it will punch through that second floor, and there'll be sort of an atrium opening around that stair system, so it'll be much more dramatic in this view. The change was really a very practical one as we went through our very thorough program analysis over the last several months. We started out with an initial need to protect that art that's in the Kaler addition and add an east addition that we thought should function primarily for events. That was looking to be about an 8,000 square foot single-purpose event space, which, by the way, would exactly mirror our existing Windover Hall, which is 8,000 square feet event space. And so at the same time as we were doing our analysis, we realized that we were short on presentation space for the art. Our collection has grown significantly over the last few years by hundreds of works. And so we felt that rather than replicate a single-purpose, large-scale event space, it'd make more sense to add the exhibition program component and still have a smaller event space that could allow us to do multiple events simultaneously. So that's what prompted the primary change.
Thank you. And I'm curious what, if anything, changed about the financials of the overall plan with the design change?
Yeah, very good question. There are several factors that have actually resulted in what we feel is a basically revenue-neutral situation, kind of a worst-case scenario. And I can point them out very quickly for you. There will be an energy savings when we enclose the 5,000 square foot sculpture courtyard. That's a glass enclosed box that is a real energy drain year round. There will be an energy gain with the 17,000 square foot addition on the east, although there's less glass than the initial event only proposed space. And so the insulating walls there will also help us significantly. The other revenue opportunities because of increased attendance in capture, if you will, off of the lakefront during the warm weather months and the event revenue piece put this in a pretty good position for us. Our conservative numbers show it as neutral for us, and I believe there will actually be a positive gain in this as we've done our multi-year budget projections after we open.
Thank you. I think my that was useful information, but I think that my question was more so related to the capital costs rather than the operational.
Oh, outlay. I'm sorry. Okay.
I'm just looking at the overall plan since this was really a labor of love last year to be able to get to a point to move forward.
Yes, sorry, I misunderstood your question, Supervisor. It turns out that it, too, is about a wash. The all-glass curtain-walled cable net glass system that we were proposing as an event-only space is a very, very expensive system. Very beautiful, but very expensive. And this is a much simpler system that results in about the same budget, $15.5 million. The county provides an additional $10 million in repairs of the buildings, and I'm happy to report that we've just surpassed our $13 million mark in our fundraising efforts. So.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further questions by committee members? I had one question that occurred, and that's, you know, given the additional space that the addition is now providing, has any consideration been given to the restoration of classrooms, classroom space within the complex, wherever that might be within the complex? I'm old enough to remember when there was a very vital educational component offered by the institution that was in cooperation with the Milwaukee Public Schools. And unfortunately, over the course of time, in order to, I think, I mean, this is opinion, fundraise and have galleries to name for various individuals, those classrooms were indeed eliminated. And I think that, in a very significant way, diminishes the educational mission of the art museum. So the question goes to classrooms and educational services being offered.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to report that we have resolved that issue. I noted it when I came to the museum 6 years ago. We started a pilot program that was funded by Kohl's Department Stores about 4 years ago. And that has led to their major funding over the last 3 years of a new entire education center within the Kaler building. The Kohl's Education Center is principally located on the first floor. There is a Kohl's studio, a Kohl's interactive lab, and on the second floor, mezzanine level, there is a Kohl's interactive gallery. Those spaces, including the interior areas, total about 10,000 square feet of space now dedicated to education. The results have been transformative for the museum over the last few years alone. We are averaging about 30,000 children coming through that program with parents in tow. That's in addition to our 60,000 student visits annually. So it's become a very robust program within the museum. It actually was the first piece we put in place regarding our master plan to renovate these buildings, and that was to move the education experience front and center, thanks to that support that we received from Kohl's to do that.
Well, that's very welcomed news. I was unaware, and of course builds on the wonderful legacy of Barbara Brown Lee and others who established those programs back when.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. And as you can imagine, it's oftentimes more challenging than ever to remove the adults from the Kohl's education space when we really want to make room for the next group of children coming in. I look forward to seeing you there.
I'll be into the finger painting corner.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you very much for that presentation. If there are no further questions by committee members, we will move on to item number 9.
Thank you, Supervisors.